Our first scripture lesson today comes from the Hebrew Bible, Isaiah, chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, which can be found in the Pew Bible starting on page 596. And if you're using the large print Bible, it's 776. And as we read this reading this morning, I want you to pull yourself out of this time period and think what's happening in our nation today. Heed these words. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it, he cleared it of stones, and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and the people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? What, when I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be defiled. I will break down its wall, and it should be trampled down. I will make it a waste, and it should not be pruned or whole. It shall be overgrown with burrs and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but he saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our next scripture reading this morning is a responsive psalm reading, Psalm 80, found on page 801 to 802 in your United Methodist hymnal. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who led Joseph like a flock, you who enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth in the presence of Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us a scorn of our neighbors and our enemies laughed among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were the cover with its shades, and the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea and shoots to the river. Why then have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit? The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that move in the field feed on it. Turn again, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and see. How regard for this repent. The stock which you right hand have planted, they have burned it with fire, they have cut it down. May they perish at the rebuke of your countenance. But let your hand be upon those of your right hand, for the ones whom you have made strong for yourself, then you will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. Amen.
Our epistle lesson is from the letter to the Hebrews, so Hebrews 11:29 through 12:2. You can find it in the Pew Bible on page 212 in the New Testament, and if you're reading the large print version, you'll find it on page 274 of the New Testament. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke, Luke chapter 49 through 56. It is on page 71 of your Pew Bible and page 92 in the large print Bible of the New Testament, so the second section there. This is among the toughest of the scripture lessons to hear and to take to heart. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, and then he also pipes up and speaks a bit later to the crowds following them. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2, and 2 against 3, they will be divided. Father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat like today, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts, let your face shine, that we may be saved. As a preacher of the gospel, I see my job as bringing to you every Sunday the good news of Jesus Christ. The reality of the Bible is that along with salvation comes judgment. Along with God's unconditional love comes the fact that our faith can sometimes prove difficult and divisive. Such is the truth of today's readings. It doesn't always come across as good news. The Bible and the kingdom of God are not all sweetness and light. There are some formidable challenges in the life of faith, and I won't lie and tell you otherwise. Likewise, I would be doing you a huge disservice if somehow I tried to explain away the difficult and challenging nature of the message of Jesus regarding the kingdom of God. It is the responsibility of each of us, Christians, to read and understand and wrestle with the challenges of God's message to His people. And I offer you a personal invitation to join us each week at our Bible study class on Thursday or on Sunday morning, because this is one of the best places I know to compare experiences and share in the struggle of faith. Because truly, the kingdom of God is a message of radical and revolutionary reality in today's world. And it has been that way throughout salvation history. The reading from Hebrews contains an extensive list of people who have come long before us, people who did extraordinary things by faith, people who experienced horrific tortures and sacrifices by faith, and people who died by faith before they ever saw the reality promised by God. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, apart from Jesus, be made perfect. This something better that God provided for these people was eternal life and the constant hope of kingdom living. But this long list of saints is not a litany of superheroes, but rather a series of stories of ordinary people, just like you and me, who accepted God's offer of unconditional love and the power of the Holy Spirit, and were therefore able to face everything that life had to throw at them by faith. And Jesus was no different from the rest of us in that regard. Jesus had some bitter medicine to share with his followers. "I came to bring fire to the earth, and oh, how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to this earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." Jesus understood that in order to bring about the kingdom of God on earth, he would have to accept his role in salvation and to carry it out by faith. Jesus also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it's going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. But you hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret this present time? All of this talk of fire and division was hard for his followers to hear, just as it is equally hard for us to hear. But for those who had been paying attention, John the Baptist had already predicted this time of decision and commitment. John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. How soon we forget that John the Baptist had the original announcement about the coming kingdom of God, who was Jesus Christ. He was telling us ahead of time about the radical message of love and deliverance and judgment that Jesus would preach and proclaim and live out by faith. My friends, I believe that we are at a similar time of decision and commitment in our personal lives, in the life of the Church Universal, and in the life of our postmodern culture. When Jesus spoke of division, he was pointing out that each person had to choose between following the ways of the secular world or following his way of kingdom living. And I believe firmly in my heart that Jesus is saying the same thing to all of us today. When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it's going to rain, and so it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? It is time, my sisters and brothers, to make a change. And the answer is Jesus Christ. We have some good advice from the letter to the Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. It is time for each of us to accept God's offer of unconditional love and the power of the Holy Spirit, and to live accordingly. We will then be able to face everything that life has to throw at us by faith. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Amen.